This is Heidi Bogosian, co-host of Law & Disorder Radio. Tune in Wednesdays at 5 p.m. to hear timely analysis on issues concerning civil liberties, privacy, the right to dissent, and even practices of torture by the U.S. government and private corporations. Our guests are leading authorities in their fields from around the country and sometimes internationally. They include authors, lawyers, activists, scholars, and many more. That's Wednesday at 5 p.m. right here on the Progressive Radio Network.
Sempre pra calar a mano vene. Se te vi que a banda se é pra calar, fique-me.
Oh, mama. Oh, bacala. Oh, mama. Hi there, this is Gerald Celente. And you know what this is? It's Trends This Week. And thank you for having me on. Great honor to be on Progressive Radio Network. Gary Null's the leading cat out there, man. When it comes to health, fitness, nutrition, the people he has on PRN, keep you well physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So it's great being on, and thank you for having me. So, what's new today? Well, here's a little update on the financial front. As you well know, when I came back on PRN on September 19, 2018, I had forecast an economic 9/11. Why? Because they're going to do away with that monetary methadone, those injections of cheap money into the system that pumped it up following the panic of 08. Federal Reserve is going to aggressively raise interest rates. However, I'm on January 4th, 2019. Jerome Powell, Fed chairman, did a 180. Took the pressure from Trump, lowered expectations for rates to rise this year. You're going to be, quote, patient. And when he announced it on January 4th, it was right after the government came out with their employment numbers, showing that we created over 300,000 jobs. That would have been a time when they would have announced that we're going to raise rates because the economy is strong, job growth is strong, and they just recorded the best income levels for a year within 10 years. But instead, they lowered them. Expectations, I should say. So, here's our forecast. Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, where's the economy going? What should you consider doing? Well, here's where it's going. First, let's start with the trade wars. There are no trade wars, despite the near daily proclamations by the business media and all of the clowns that the United States launched a trade war against China. There is no war. They're going to make a deal. The United States racked up a trade deficit last year of nearly $1 trillion. Who would do business under these terms? That was the global, that was dealing with everybody. We bought almost $1 trillion more products than we sold. Oh, you could stay in business a long time like that. Buy more than you can sell. It's economics 101. So beyond China, considering the size of the overall U.S. trade deficit, again, $914 billion last year, nearly $1 trillion. So considering this size, as I had long forecast, nations, including China, will negotiate with the United States to level that grossly imbalanced trade field rather than destroy their profit streams. All the noise about America's tariffs on China, last year they affected their GDP 0.7%. So the reason that Chinese retail sales are down, auto sales are down, has nothing to do with fears of trade wars, just as India's economy expanding at its slowest pace in more than a year, or the recession in Italy, has nothing to do with trade war fears. The world is merely experiencing a global economic slowdown. And here's the bottom line. People have less money to spend. Capisce? That's why there's a slowdown in China with auto sales and retail. Oh, we're fearing that there's going to be a trade war. Now, people don't care. So now, even the prostitutes, the mainstream media mouthpieces that get paid to put out by their corporate johns and their Washington whoremasters, now even they admit what I've been saying for a decade and a number of others, that the world markets and economies were pumped up by cheap money. The economies did not grow as a result of basic economic fundamentals. Rather, they were artificially inflated. So, now, what's going to happen? Very simple. It's election time. It's election time. They're going to do everything they can to pump up the equity markets. Everything. So, you're hearing it first. We're the only ones saying this. Very few others are. Shouldn't say the only ones, but among the only ones, they're going to lower interest rates. They're going to lower interest rates to prop up the economy if it slows down. So what does that mean? They're already doing it in China. As I mentioned, in the United States, they already did a U-turn. And now you're seeing the equity markets in the United States rally since it hit its December 26th low. Biggest rally since 1987. Ah, 1987. Yeah, the crash of 87. Huh. Will there be a crash this year? And going back to China, their stocks hit a 9-month high. Why? The government is going to cut taxes, spend more on infrastructure, and inject more monetary methadone to pump up the economy. Which is on track in China to register its slowest annual gross domestic product growth in 3 decades. So, in the lead up to the 2020 presidential reality show, and boy, what a freak show it is, should the economy dramatically slow and or sink, and or markets, you know, sink with it, the Fed will aggressively lower interest rates. And absent a black swan geopolitical economic event, gold is going to continue to be trading in that tight range of the past 6 years. We don't see much change. Real estate, it remains stable in the U.S. and many nations as central banks lower rates to boost demand. And on the equity market front, minus a wild card event, more of the same. Modest growth with occasional sharp downturns. That's it. That's what we do on the trends front for our subscribers to the Trends Journal. That's part of a trend alert we just sent out to them today. And again, what separates our work from others is we have no agenda. You got men and women out there that have called for a market crash, as we did, that are still calling for it. I'm not going to mention their names. I know most of them. But they stick to it. We don't. We go with the current events forming future trends. You think I want to reverse what I said, that there'd be an economic 9/11? That's why nobody can predict the future. There are too many wild cards. And right now, you don't get a wilder card than the Trump card. Can't make that stuff up. Can't make it up. You know, when I was a young guy, many years ago, and I also had the good fortune of hearing some of the great jazz greats live. My father, may his soul rest in peace, had a yacht club on the Hudson River, a place called Montrose, below Peekskill. This is the late 1950s. And it was a place for the jet set. Beautiful swimming pool, elongated octagon swimming pool, 100 feet long, the diving well and waterfalls going into it, 100 units of cabanas behind it, all pastel colored painted, restaurant on top of the hill. The only place on the Hudson River between New York and Albany with no railroad tracks. Beautiful floating slips. And again, those days back in the 50s, only the very rich had yachts. There's no more beautiful place in the entire country than the Hudson Shore Marina that my father built. And I'm a little kid. And I used to work there. I used to pump gas into these yachts, 225 gallons into each side with one-inch hoses. Bing, bing. That's the way the gallons would ring off. I go tie up the boats. They throw me the line. I'm a little kid, 11 years old, doing that stuff. Anyway, I listened to and saw, they used to play at my father's place, fella Al Caiola, song Bonanza. He wrote that. He'd play up there on the weekends. Keeley Prima, who I play. She came up there. Woman Lamb Chops, Sherry Lewis, the owner of the New York Yankees, Lee McPhail. Another guy used to come up was Jilly Rizzo. That's where Frank Sinatra used to hang out, Jilly's. And he'd come up with his sidemen. And I'm a little kid listening. And in those days, you know, places used to be up till 4 o'clock in the morning, the bars and the restaurants. You didn't worry about the cops. And I'd hear this music playing. I'm mentioning this. And that's why, by the way, I know what I know, because I was very fortunate to be in a number of situations as a young boy to be around the greats. And I a photograph of me and Richard Nixon when I hired him when I was a government affairs specialist. Not Richard Nixon, excuse me, Ronald Reagan, 1976. Picked him up at the Chicago Hilton when he spoke at our group. He used to work for the chemical industry, a division of it. Anyway, so I heard the best musicians, best sidemen, Frank Sinatra, Al Caiola, others. You know what America lost? America lost its cool. Not a cool place anymore. Cool is gone. Don't gotta be cool no more. And you know how bad it is? As my good friend and a contributor to the Trends Journal, the world's number one cannabis expert, I will put Bradford Beckerman up against anybody, anywhere, any place, anyhow. No one knows more about cannabis than Bradford because his life depended on it. Whole story about how he was almost killed. Given up for dead. And cannabis helped save his life and got him off all those drugs he was on. Anyway, Bradford said, America, he said, cool is dead. And the funniest thing is that our president thinks he's the coolest. Bradford's right on. He said, Trump thinks he's the Fonz. And I wrote that down. I carry a pen and paper with me often because you don't remember what you want to remember, so I always write it down. I picked that habit up back in the late 70s when I first started becoming a trend forecaster, seeing how the current events form future trends. And people would make statements, or I'd think of something, and I'd write it down so I wouldn't forget about it. Cool is dead in America. It's not in the music, it's not in the style. Not an ounce of boogie, not a drop of jive. Go on YouTube. Take a look at Duke Ellington in the 1930s and 40s, and Count Basie. Duke and Count, huh? Duke and Count. The black cats were leading it in fashion, in music, in style, in elegance, right across the spectrum. The cool white guys that were hip to the jive signed on and added to it. A lot of great jazz musicians that were white as well, of course. But they got it. And now, cool is dead. Look at the way people dress. Look at the way they act. You travel around the world, you go into restaurants, you could talk at moderate tones because everybody isn't screaming all around you as they do in the United States. Cool is dead. Look at the portions of food that we gobble down. More junk food. You are what you eat. And it shows. One of my great passions is music. And to me, music could change much of the direction that we're going. I mentioned how the Black Cats brought us swing time, during the Great Depression. Happy days are here again, da 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 da. Drop your worries by the doorstep, life could be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. Boosted the emotions of the people. I wrote about it in my book, What Zizzy Gave Honey Boy. Zizzy is the Neapolitan dialect for aunt. Zia's aunt, your Zizzy was your auntie. So many people used to tell me, the old timers, they met when they used to go to ballrooms dancing. Black Cats brought us that. And declined to rap. Think about it. From swing time to gangster rap, the lowest common denominator. The people that walk around, remember when it all happened with their pants hanging down, really looking stupid? Reason the pants were hanging down in gangster rap is that the most vicious criminals in jail weren't given belts or shoelaces because they'd kill you with them. And that's where we've gone. From Count Basie and Duke Ellington to Snoop Dogg, Jay-Z, and F.U., listen to the lyrics. So I believe music could really change things. And if I had the wherewithal and the funding to make it happen, that's where my passion is. Because we need a renaissance to change things. As Bradford Beckerman said, the world's number one cannabis expert, we're going to be doing a huge story on him and where cannabis is going in a new trends journal that will be out next week. Cool is dead. And the funniest thing is that our president thinks he's the coolest. He thinks he's the Fonz. This new trends journal coming out, Bradford was down in Colombia, brought down there by a major company, because they contacted us because of all the work we've done in the Trends Journal. We were the one among the first talking about the cannabis trend. So he was down there and reporting back what's going on in detail, where we see the future moving, and how to cash in on it. We need a renaissance. Alla Romana e alla Antica, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients. That's the way they used to describe their work in Italy during the Renaissance, to compare it to the greatness of the past rather than the attitude of today. Selfies, can't get enough of them. It's all about me. Let me tell you about me. Hey, you know about me? I know about everything. Don't you know who I am? No respect for the elders. Oh, the children will change things because I'm just a loser and have no passion to do anything. Oh, the children will change it. Stop. The elders, the past. Nah. Not make America great again. Beyond that. Dignity, respect, morality, and integrity. Words that are lost, particularly in the presidential reality show that's heating up. More contestants on the Democratic side than any time in history. Step right up, race for the White House, the presidential reality show. The only one that I support is Tulsi Gabbard. So far, she's the only one, an Iraq combat veteran, member of the armed forces, martial artist, who was against the Yemen war, the Libyan war, the Iraq war, and America going into Venezuela. But we won't talk about that because the media won't. They rather talk about Elizabeth Warren and phony Bernie Sanders. Yep. BS Bernie. Oh, how the liberals love him. And he loved that Afghan war, didn't you, Bernie boy? He loved what Bill Clinton was doing over there, Bernie boy, with the sanctions that killed over 500,000 people in Iraq when you were a congressman, or I should say congress boy, Bernie boy. He supported it one after another. Sanders' statements on Venezuelan crisis were quite critical of President Nicolas Maduro, saying the 2000 election, his re-election, was a vote, quote, many observers said was fraudulent. Hey, got some. Many observers, including dozens of nations that brought observers in there, said it was a straightforward, honest election. Junior, Bernie boy, BS Bernie. He condemned Maduro's, quote, violent crackdown of Venezuelan civil society. Hey, how about what's going on in Yemen, Bernie boy? And how about what Macron the Cazzon is doing over there in France, Bernie boy? Got lockjaw, Bernie boy? And he insisted that the humanitarian aid be allowed in the country. Humanitarian aid. That's a fraud. The United States is putting on these vicious sanctions that's bringing down the nation, economic warfare. And Bernie called Maduro's predecessor, Hugo Chavez, who the people of Venezuela, a large majority, loved, a dead communist dictator. Don't forget to vote. Don't forget to vote. Buy the Bernie BS. I can't stand that little clown of nothing. Nothing. I'll give you free education. I'll give you free health care. What a little jerk. I remember guys like him in school. Little brown noses and suck-ups. Bernie Sanders. BS Bernie one after another. Again, Tulsi Gabbard is the only one so far that I respect. I'm all in favor of taxing the rich, by the way. Much heavier taxes. Much heavier. Bring them back to the Eisenhower era. 90% marginal tax rate, not the 37 we have now. And little clown Cuomo says, oh, they'll leave the country. Go on. Get out of here. What are you kidding? They get even more tax breaks than that. We, the little people, have to pay the full taxes, school taxes, property taxes, while they get the big breaks. And talking about breaks, we're going to take one now. And we'll be back in a little bit. Stay tuned.
The Progressive Radio Network is a thinking person's network for our world's progressive visionaries and stakeholders and great thinkers to assemble on a commercial, free, and listener-supported network. Our provocative hosts speak freely and passionately on intriguing and urgent topics such as health and news and politics and women's issues and philosophy and more that directly impact our lives. Progressive Radio Network takes chances. Our voices and ideas are not always welcomed by corporate media, so Progressive Radio Network is a very important outlet for these great thinkers.
Hey, it's Jesse, PRN station manager. I have an exciting announcement for our amazing listeners. PRN has a new voicemail line that will allow you to connect better with our hosts. If you can't listen live but have a question or comment for one of our hosts, just call 862-800-6805. That's 862-800-6805. This feature will allow your voice to be heard on your favorite PRN show.
Thank you for listening to the Progressive Radio Network.
Yeah, I'm not known as a gadget guy, but I love gadgets that really do the trick, like the new app. The Progressive Radio Network has an app, thanks to our friends at Audio Now. Hey, this is Mark Farrell, host of Insight on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we broadcast live out of New York City. But if you can't catch the show live, no frets. It's always archived. It's always on the app. Download it now, listen later, whenever you want. The Progressive Radio Network app is available from our friends at Audio Now. Check it out.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Oh, mamma, la 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 Trendvision 2020. That's right. History before it happens. You want to see what it's all about? Go to YouTube and you can see it. We just put one of the posted up there. It's a great new concept we're doing, a new podcast, a video podcast. So you get it audio and video. And it's a whole different look on how we're bringing the current events forming future trends. Trendvision 2020. History before it happens. See the future now. You can see a podcast on YouTube. Put in Gerald Celente. C-E-L-E-N-T-E. You know, actually, my real last name is Celentano. An A-N-O at the end. And the A-N-O was taken away back in the day when they had little issues. You're putting the right names down and this and that. But there was a great Italian star out there in Italy. He was the Elvis Presley of the day. Adriano Celentano. So anyway, go to Gerald Celenti on YouTube and you will see our new video podcasts. The only magazine in the world where you will read, hear, and see history before it happens. TrendsJournal.com if you'd like to subscribe. If you want to know what's going on and how to prepare, prevail, and prosper for the future, it's all there. And of course, it's only $129 a year, $10.75 a month. And if you can't afford it, because we know people are having a difficult time, we're hearing so much of it. You know, the rich are getting richer and everybody else is getting poorer. We have a discount request page. Try to make it available to you at a price that you can afford. So, trendsjournal.com, history before it happens, the only magazine in the world like it. And check out our podcasts. And on the market front, oil prices, this is very important. The oil prices now, Brent crude, are about $65 a barrel. They came way up from their lows. If we see oil starting to hit the $80 a barrel mark, $85, this is going to slow down the global economy big time. So keep your eye on that. Another one to watch, very important, are copper prices. Copper prices have spiked up from their lows in June. Because copper, Dr. Copper, as it's called in our business, because it could give you a outlook, an overview of the health of the global economy. Copper is used in everything from heavy industry to high tech. So copper prices are going up. So what we're saying is we're not seeing a severe global slowdown. I mentioned earlier what's going on. You look at the Shanghai Index, it was down, way down in bear territory, meaning well down well over 20%, almost 30% last year. And now it's poof, flying back up. Why? Because they're pumping more cheap dollar. You're looking at housing prices going way down over there in places like Australia, Sydney, and Melbourne, where the prices have skyrocketed. What are they going to do? They're going to lower interest rates, keep the markets pumped up. So, this is not time for guns, gold, and a getaway plan. Actually, should always, in my estimation, as a believer and a close combat practitioner, you should always have guns, gold, and a getaway plan. But it doesn't have to be right in the front of your mind right now, because we don't see a major economic crisis developing minus a wild card. So markets are down a little bit, but doesn't mean a lot. By the way, anybody that has any questions or answers, feel free to call me at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And we have Abu from Wisconsin. Hey, how are you, Abu?
Well, hello, Gerald. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Just a couple of very short questions. Well, listen, I agree with you about Tulsi Gabbard. And by the way, she's she needs people to pledge, and even with a small amount, because it is a number of pledges, and she has to reach the threshold of 65,000 before she will be allowed in the debate. So that's very important for her to shift the center of gravity of the discussions.
Let me stop on that, and then you go to the next question. To be allowed in the debates, to be allowed in the debates by the criminal gang called the Republicans and the Democrats. Do you know, Abu, that the debates used to be run by the League of Women Voters? Hey, me too. This is a perfect time for you to come out and put the debates back in the hands of the League of Women Voters before they were stolen by the Democratic and Republican Party and put in the hands of the corporate whoremasters, the media.
I couldn't agree with you more, but you know, it is what it is, and she just needs the number of people. It doesn't matter how much they pledge. But anyway, question number two, and then one more after this, please. When President Trump browbeat the Federal Reserve chairman and made him go in the other direction with interest rates, can you tell me why the Federal Reserve would want to raise interest rates when we see all these other indicators, like, you know, so many people cannot pay their, 7 million cannot pay their, are behind on their car loans, and all these other indicators which show that the economy is not good. And even as you said, you have you are doing your part by giving a cut rate plan to people who are suffering. So what is the rationale for them to raise interest rates?
The rationale is to have organic growth rather than it being fueled by cheap money. And there's a negative and a positive to it. Listen, I'm all in favor of, you know, I own the historic buildings. Anybody, by the way, who wants to see them, go to Google and put most historic four buildings in America, Kingston, New York. And I bought them because of my passion being an American and the freedom that I used to have that I couldn't be if I was born anywhere else. And that's where I launched Occupy Peace from. So I'm glad that interest rates are down, because I don't, you know, I have property. I don't want to go broke with them. You know, I want to be able to escalate and move higher. And that can't be done right now with rates going higher. So I'm happy that they are lower. And there's no need to really raise them in this kind of environment. But here's the downside. There used to be a thing called savings accounts. People used to be able to put money in the bank and get interest on it. By keeping the rates where they are, what you have is a war against savers. They're forcing people that have any kind of extra money to gamble it in the equity markets. That's why there's the other side to it. And your other question?
Thank you. Yeah. And the last one is, any comments about North Korea facing down, you know, the great USA?
You know, that's a lot of hype. And, you know, nobody froze down anybody. And you know, the media should be applauding that they met. And if I was North Korea, I wouldn't give up my weapons, because I saw what America did to Iraq. I saw what they did to Libya. I see what they do to everybody else, and I know they'll do it to me. So yeah, just because I have a gun, that doesn't mean I'm going to use it. But you could only have guns. So anyway, that's, you know, the media is making this thing a clown show. And then when you look behind it, it looks like that guy Bolton, that madman, that's our national security advisor, who's also behind with Pompeo of the overthrow of the Venezuelan government, is the one to help scuttle that deal. So thank you very much, Abu. We have Juan from Queens. Juan, where are you in Queens?
Yes, hello, Gerald.
you mentioned that music is your passion. And in the early 70s, I was a music student. I was working with an organization. It was called the Collective Black Artists. And within the organization, there were musicians that played with Coltrane and others. Now, the music today is being used against our precious young people, and it's devastating millions of them, and it is being done deliberately as part of the social engineering. So there are great possibilities available to us to make the artistic community part of the movement. And my brother's a very important musician in New York City. He has a doctorate degree that he earned at Manhattan School of Music. And like him, many musicians from the community are looking for an alternative so that the music can be used for the benefit of the community instead of being used to devastate millions of our young people. Now, I've been on this journey for many years, and as a matter of fact, I made it possible for your friend Gary Nall to speak to one of the descendants of the Funk Brothers. And I'm requesting to be given an opportunity to meet with you. I'm 66 years old. I don't have a criminal record. I don't use drugs or anything like that. And I still have connections with the musicians, Coltrane's bass player. I just saw about a month ago. And these guys are looking for an alternative, like you are. So I would like to present a plan to you because my brother has, yeah.
So what you do is you can go to my website, trendsresearch.com, and there's the contact information, and there's my name right there, and you can send an email directly to me.
Yeah. What if I call your office? Would that be okay?
Well, it'll be harder to get me because I'm going on all the time, you know, that I'm not available on the phone most of the day because we're doing broadcasts and all the kind of work. So it'd be best to email me, give me your telephone number, and I'll get in touch with you.
Okay, so my brother has connections with the Lincoln Jazz Orchestra. He has. You love that music, and the music is very powerful. And the musicians are waiting for an alternative. And this is a perfect opportunity for your... For you
I would
and,
love to.
PRN
I would love to. It's my passion. Well, thank you so much, Juan. I look forward to hearing from you. We got Leslie from New York.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm very well, and how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I have a subscription to Trends Journal.
Ah. How do you like it?
My question is, yeah, I like it a lot. It's terrific, and I think you're terrific, too. There's speculation that the collapse of the European Union and the euro will presage the collapse of the U.S. dollar and the USA. What's your opinion?
I agree. Well, I think the eurozone is going to eventually dissolve. It won't even be there anymore. You're seeing these populist movements moving throughout Europe, and people are tired of being controlled by the globalists. And you know, Italy's in recession. There's slowdowns in Germany, all across Europe, and the people have had it with the establishment. Except in the United States, the establishment is still very strong, and the only reason the dollar is strong is because the other currencies are so weak. And you already have negative interest rates in Europe, and there's going to be the slowdown. They're going to be more quantitative easing. They're running out of tools. So I agree. Again, the only reason the dollar is strong is because all the others are so weak. Yes, we have a $22 trillion deficit, but trade burden, $22 trillion worth of debt. And what is China's? $40 trillion, double the United States. And you have one problem after another. So yes, Leslie, I agree with those people. And thank you so much for subscribing. And please encourage other people to do so as well, because the more subscribers we have, the more we can do. Any other questions?
Oh, yes. Now, our country, USA, has spent about $8 billion in Afghanistan. And now Trump wants to pull the troops out, but the CIA is still there. And I also hear that there's a bunch of fantastic minerals like rare earths that our country is speculating on in Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, they've been talking about that for years. They've been saying that. again, you know, it's also strategic. They want to be near Russia and Iran. Those are the two reasons why as well. And again, the country's totally taken over by the military-industrial complex, intelligence complex, as General Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us about back in 1961. I believe it was January 20th when it was his farewell address. And they're still in charge. Look how Trump is backtracked on pulling his troops out of Syria. They were going to be out of there. And now, well, we're going to leave about 600 or so. You know, we have no business being there. You're invading a foreign country. It's against the law. And now look what they're doing going into Venezuela. Totally against the law. And there's no outrage, by the way. And as I mentioned, only Tulsi Gabbard is the one speaking out against it. And I also want to thank the gentleman calling earlier about contributing to her campaign, because I'm going to do so as well. Whatever, you know, you feel, you know, it's up to everybody to do what they want to do. But if you can send $5 or $10, you know, it's better than nothing. And when you have millions of people doing it, it adds up to something. So thank you very much, Leslie. We're waiting for Bruce. Bruce from Tennessee.
Good morning, Gerald. I'm wondering why the issue of Bernie Sanders' age has not been brought up. He'll be close to 80 when he's beginning to the election of 2020. He's older than Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was, what, 69 when he ran for the presidency, and Bernie's going to be 80? Plus the debilitating aspect of being on the campaign trail. So assume that he gets the presidency. He'll be 80 years of age. How long can he last in office? How come this issue is not in the forefront of things?
Well, you're not allowed to talk about it in Identity Politics America. Facts don't mean anything. And, you know, I mentioned Eisenhower. Eisenhower said anyone over 70 shouldn't be in the White House. Now, this is a man that was a warrior. He was a real fighter, and it was too much for him. And so he knew the dangers of the age barrier. But in America, again, you know, this is everything is just so stupidly brought into the lowest common denominator, so they don't talk about it.
Yes, indeed. As a member of the Progressive Party, I see the progressives are really championing Bernie Sanders. But I like the lady that you are backing, Tulsi Gabbard, I guess is her last name. I'm kind of confused.
Yes, Gabbard, yep.
Yeah, I enjoy where her stand is, and thank you for bringing her to the forefront, her name to the forefront. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And again, right, Everyone, please tune in to our YouTube. And, of course, if you're a subscriber to the Trends Journal, you get four times a week. We try to put up one a week on YouTube to show people what we're doing and to give them some information and help them to encourage to subscribe to the journal. But we've been promoting her virtually every day on our broadcasts as well. She's the only one, again, that I have any faith in. You know, as she's a martial artist, and you know, I'm a close combat practitioner. You only get in a fight if you have to. The last thing I want to do is get in a fight. Because if I get in a fight, it's not like you're going to see, you know, on TV. This isn't the way we were brought up, you know, that we were taught. The site, by the way, attackproof.com. John Perkins, not that John Perkins, but the other John Perkins, is the gentleman that taught me. And as I mentioned, other than my parents, may his souls rest in peace, I attribute much of who I am to what he taught me. Because in the fight, if you get in a fight, we're going to the death here. This isn't TV. And somebody's going to die, and it's not going to be me. But again, you never know what could happen. All of a sudden, a guy could pull a gun out, a knife. So you try to avoid the fight. And if you get in a fight, it's a fight to the finish. You know, I was a little kid, you know, was a tiny kid. So I used to have the bullies picking on me. So I learned how to fight as a young guy, young kid. And my father used to say to me, show them no quarters. And that meant that when the guy would say, okay, I had enough, stop, 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 you didn't stop. because if you stop, then they'd beat you up. No bullying zone, you learn how to fight. And that's why I am a lot of who I am. I'm a fighter. Now, I'm not going to get into a fight. But if I do, man, we're going to the end over here. So that's why she knows it differently. She saw the horror and death in Iraq, as Eisenhower saw the horror and death throughout Europe during the terrible World War II. And he wanted to end it. He hated war. Real warriors hate war. Could you imagine little Lindsey Graham in a fight? Or Chuckie Schumer? Could you imagine these people fighting Trump, Obama, George Bush, Clinton? As we'd say in the Bronx, and I can't use the words on this show, they wouldn't know what to do when you call them out number one and number two. Yeah. That's why Tulsi is different. She's seen, smelled, and felt what death looks like and doesn't want it to go on. But a little Bolton, another guy, could you imagine him in a fight? A little Bolton, they want more death and destruction. So, do what you can to support Occupy Peace, OccupyPeace.com, Tulsi Gabbard, and please consider signing up for the Trends Journal. And I want to thank everyone that called for their comments, their suggestions, their insights, and their observations. Very, very talented, bright, informed people on PRN. But hey, that's what PRN is. That's why you tune in. So tune in next week. I'll see you then. Cella luna mezza.